Blog Talk Radio.
Precious saints of God, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I'm pretty sure that by now you've heard the news that our beloved Sister Caroline Hayes went home to be with Jesus. Well, we are anticipating a great, great Sunday morning service in which we will be celebrating her life, her service, and her membership at Grace Church. She has already gone into glory. You know, we're working out of this text. Let me read it to you. Psalm 84:11. I'm going to read it to you in three translations. The King James Version reads like this: "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." The Common English Bible reads like this: "The Lord is a sun, a shield. God is favor and glory. The Lord gives, doesn't withhold, good things to those who walk with integrity." And finally, the Revised English Bible reads like this: "The Lord God is a sun and shield. Grace and honor are his to bestow. The Lord withholds no good things from those whose life is blameless." Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks because another precious saint has transitioned from this life to the life to come. During her time, during her pilgrimage on earth, you gave her all the grace she needed. You gave her saving grace. You gave her living grace, the grace to battle the old nature. And then, of course, you gave her ministry grace because she served your church faithfully. Yes, indeed, you gave her grace while she held membership at the church militant. But now she has entered into her eternal glory. She resides with you and with all those who have gone home to be with the Lord. For indeed, you give grace on earth and glory in heaven. We thank you for her life. And now, Lord, we pray that you would bless this study. Bless us, O God. Bless us as we turn to your word. Bless us as we continue to look to you. This we ask, this we pray, In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. We left off yesterday transitioning from grace to glory, talking about grace and glory. Grace, that supernatural ability, enablement which God gives us to live the victorious Christian life here on earth. But then when we transition to heaven, he gives us his glory. We live in glory. We live in that glorious city, the New Jerusalem. We live in that glorious place called heaven. It's all glorious. We're surrounded by glorious angels. If you remember, every time Moses went up to talk to God in the mountain, if you go back and you read your Exodus and your Leviticus and your Numbers and Deuteronomy, every time Moses went up to talk to God and he witnessed the glory of God, all those 40-day stays that he had, think about that. Moses would go up to talk to God for 40 days and then come back down. When he would come back down, he would have to wear a veil. Why? Because his face shone. His face was shining. That's the way your face and my face ought to be every time we crack open the Bible. For it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that when we turn to the Word of God is like a mirror, and it reflects the glory of Christ, the glory of God upon us, and you ought to be looking quite transformed. Remember Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? When Peter, James, and John were up with him, he took them up to the mountain. And then what did he do? They saw Jesus in all his glory. And who was talking to Jesus? Well, who was talking to him? Moses and Elijah. They saw Moses and Elijah, who were already in heaven, talking to Jesus in glory. In glory. So the Lord gives grace and he gives glory. We are the militant church. We are the church battling. We are the church waging war for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to us, he pours out his spirit and he gives us that third benefit, which is grace. Aren't you glad that you belong to a church that's called Grace? That ought to tell you something about the church. It ought to be a church, and it is a church that is totally dependent on God. A church that leans on God, that leans on the power of God, that rests on the power of God. If you've got grace, you've got it all. For grace comes from the Lord. So, the Lord will give grace. And we saw this in Paul's letters to the Romans, Romans 1:7, in his two letters to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:2, in his epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:2, in his letter to the Philippians, Philippians 1:2, his letter to the Colossians, Colossians 1:2, and his two epistles to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:2, and his two letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, in his letter to his son Titus, Titus 1:4, and in his letter to his friend Philemon, Philemon 1:3. God gives grace because we all need it. Without God's grace, we'll never make it. And then as a gift, as a graduation gift, he gives us glory. We're talking about Sister Caroline Hayes. Where is she right now? She's in glory. She has entered into her rest. She has ceased from all her labors. You know, as pastor of Grace Church, as pastor, last year, we started out by celebrating the life of Ann Feichel. She passed away January 17th. And then there was Tony Beekman Putnam. And she passed away in February. And then there was Donald Krause, who passed away in March. And then there was Joyce Ten Eyck, our beloved Joyce Ten Eyck, and of course, Harvey Rackmeyer. So we've been seeing our saints, our former members, go from the church militant to the church triumphant. And someday I'll be there. Someday I'll transition. But while I'm down here, he will give me lots of grace and glory every time I open up his word. Well, we want to go to the next portion of the text, because here's another benefit. We've already outlined four of the five benefits. What's the first benefit? Well, he's a son. God, the Lord God, is a son. Second benefit, he is a shield. Third benefit, he gives grace in abundance. Fourth benefit, he gives glory. And what's the fifth benefit? No good thing will he withhold. No good thing. In other words, God is not tight-fisted when it comes to his, he's, you know, God, when it comes to you and I, when it comes to his children, when it comes to his blood-bought saints, when it comes to his elect, when it comes to his flock, when it comes to his sheep, when it comes to each one of his children, born-again saints, the Lord is open-handed. Open-handed. He's not tight-fisted. God's hand is open to give. Let me take you to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here's an astonishing text, an amazing text. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. Now remember, the most important thing you and I needed was a lamb. We needed someone, a vicarious lamb, a substitutionary lamb. You and I needed, like Abel of old. Remember Abel, Cain and Abel? Remember when Abel approached God, he approached God by bringing God a lamb that was sacrificed in his place. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no cancellation of sin. Paul begins by saying, listen, what shall we say to all these things in the previous eight chapters? If God be for the elect, if he be for his chosen, if he be for his saints, who can be against us? Here's my first argument. God did not withhold his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He gave his son to be a lamb, to die, to be slaughtered, to shed his blood, so that your sins, my sins, your iniquities, my iniquities can be canceled out. If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, my brothers and sisters, God's hand was open when he gave us Jesus, but it's still open because along with Jesus, God gives us everything else we need. What does he give us? He gives us our daily bread. He gives us jobs. He gives us health. He gives us breaks. You know, when I was a young man down in New York City, and I was looking for an opportunity, I was looking for a break. I remember going to the Daily News and the New York Post and the other papers that existed at the time, the New York Times, and I would open them up, and I would go to the wanted ads, and I would circle certain jobs that I was interested in, and then I would take the subway to go for the job interview, and I would be praying, and I said, Lord, give me a break today, Lord. Let me land a job today. How many breaks did God give me? How many open doors? How many jobs did God just have some company create just to bless me? I'm sure the same thing he did for you. You can look back at your life. You can look back over the decades and say, you know, I got that apartment, or I got that house, or, you know, I got that job, or I got that connection, or I got that piece of furniture, or I got that car because of a tip, because of a break. But who gave you the tip? Who made the break? God. How shall he not with Christ freely give us all things? I could look back. I could look back, 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 back. I'll give you a little story. I remember one time as a youth in church, I wanted to participate in a drama club. And $10 were required. $10. I must have been about 15, 16. I wanted to participate in this drama club, and I just didn't have the $10, and I asked my grandmother, and she says, well, son, I don't have it. I can't give it to you. So that was the one thing keeping me, from joining the youth drama club. I needed the $10 because the $10 purchased the outfit and you know, all the stuff that I needed to join the club. And I remember my grandmother telling me no, and I picked up my football, and I went out to the park, and I was throwing the ball with some friends of mine. And a friend of mine threw a pass. He threw a pass. And I remember the pass was way over my head, and I dove for the ball, and I caught the ball. I caught the ball, but I had to lay my body out. I had to stretch my body out. When I hit the grass, when I hit the ground, and I was so happy that I caught the ball, I looked with the corner of my eye, and there all crumbled up was a bill, cash. I opened up the bill, and it was $10. There was my money for the drama club. I kid you not. I have so many stories like that. So many things that God did for this orphan boy who lived with his grandmother, and his grandmother was so strapped for cash. So many times God came through for me. And you say, that's a little thing. Yes, but that's how God starts out. He starts out with the little things, and then as you go through life, and there are bigger miracles that you need, and there's bigger gifts that you need, he comes through. No good thing will he withhold from his elect. Now, you know, the devil will want you to murmur. The devil would have you to complain. You know, the devil said to Eve, you know, God is withholding some knowledge from you. That's how Satan deceived Eve in Genesis 3:5. Satan begins to talk to Eve, and he begins to ask her questions, and she says, well, you know, God has given us all these trees freely, or we can eat of all these trees, and there are so many trees in this garden, but of this one. And Satan tricked her by saying, you know, the reason why God doesn't want you to have or to eat of the fruit of that tree is because he's withholding something good from you. Because God knows that the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as God. You'll be on his level. And Eve fell for it. My brothers and sisters, there are things in this world that are not for you. They're not for me. And there are good things that God will not withhold. You know, when I was a teenager, and even as a young man, and when I was in college, people say, you know, oh, you Christians, you don't get to party, you don't get to live it up. You know, you're cheating yourself. You're not enjoying your life. You got all these restrictions and all these commandments and all these don't do's. No, I would say to them, no. I'm perfect. I'm living the right life. You see, God will not withhold any good thing. If I don't have it, it means it's not for me. If God hasn't given it to me, it means it's not good for me. Maybe I'm not ready for it yet. Maybe I'm not prepared. Maybe the thing is good. Maybe indeed the thing is good, but maybe I'm not ready to take it on. Or perhaps it's no good, and God would not have me to participate. So no good thing will he withhold. In other words, listen, you can come to your Heavenly Father in prayer, not just so that he could be your son, not just so that he can give you illumination and expose the enemy's plans in your life, not just so that he can be your shield, your protector, your bodyguard, your secret service agent. Not just so that he can bestow upon you grace, Holy Ghost enablement. Not just so that in the future he can take you home to glory. But listen, between grace and glory, you know, there's grace is here on earth and glory is in heaven. But between grace and glory, there's a whole lot of middle. Listen. Grace, you come to the cross of Jesus. You come to saving grace. You come to the saving knowledge of God. Maybe you did so in your teens. And maybe you're destined to die in your 90s. Between the day you came to Christ, the day you came to the cross, to the day you die, there's a whole lot of in between. And what the text is saying, no good thing will he withhold in the in between. I can testify to that. I've had everything I've needed because God in his goodness has given me those things that were most necessary to my life. And not just to my life, but to the life of my family. Let me conclude by taking you to James. James chapter 1. James puts it this way in verse 16. Do not be in error, my beloved brethren. In other words, he says, don't be like Eve. Don't let no one lie to you. Don't let Satan whisper in your ear that God is withholding something from you. Don't be in error. Don't let your unsaved friends at work laugh at you and tell you that you're missing out because you don't party with them on the weekend. Don't buy into that lie. Do not fall into error, my beloved brethren. Verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes to you from the Father of lights. What lights? The stars. Remember, God is a sun and a shield. The greatest light of them all is God. Every good gift, everything that is beneficial for your soul, and everything that will be perfect for your life, in other words, that which fits your life to perfection, every good and gift of perfection for your life comes from above, not from this world. This world has only misery to offer us, heartache to offer us. But every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down to you from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation and there is no shadow of turning. In other words, God isn't happy with you today and then he's grumpy tomorrow. And, you know, and God is welcoming you today and then telling you to get lost tomorrow. No. He, God, will withhold no good thing. God's hand is open to you and to me. And by the way, you get what you need from God simply by asking. Our elder brother and Savior Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock on God's door, where his throne of grace is, and it shall be open unto you. So what are the five benefits as we do our recap today? First, God is a son. He's the son in your life. He is the shield of your life. He is the one who gives you all the grace you need in abundance. He gives you all the glory you need. And finally, no good thing will he what? Refuse to give you, hold back, conceal, retain, or even hide from those who walk. I'll be back tomorrow to finish this series. Continue to pray for me as I pray for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire above me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy.